Vibrant
music teaching.
Proven and practical
tips, strategies,
and ideas
for music teachers.
This is the Vibrant Music Teaching Podcast. I'm Nicola Canton, and today we're talking about the feedback loop and how teachers misuse it. Feedback is an essential part of our teaching, especially as students progress and they're beyond the beginning stages. A lot of what we do is giving them feedback in one form or another. So let's look at how we can do it better. A feedback loop is essentially something where there's an input, an assessment of that input, and then an output, and then we repeat thinking about it again and again. So a classic example of a feedback loop is the thermostat in your house. So in your heating or cooling system, depending on where you live, one might be more important than the other. There's probably a thermostat, something that senses the temperature in a certain place in your house. And it checks that temperature, step one. And then it says, hey, is that temperature the same as what I want it to be, what it's set at, or is it higher or lower? And then it outputs either heat or cooling to get to that temperature. And then it just asks that again all day for its whole life to try and keep your house at the temperature you want it. So in music teaching then, generally we check a piece of music. Our student plays it for us. We listen to it. Then we assess it against whatever our goal was for that piece or whatever our ideal is for that piece. We give some feedback in the form of verbal feedback, telling them what could be better, or a practice technique or a demonstration or some other way to communicate what we need to change. Then we need to give it time because the student needs to absorb that feedback, repeat the piece, do whatever they need to do to fix the problem, and then we assess again. Or this doesn't have to be about a piece. It could be about a technique or a concept that our student needs to understand. We check in some way whether they understand that thing or can do that technique. Then we assess how it went against whatever our goal was. We give them feedback or we do something to address what's missing. And then we check it again. Now, here are a few things that teachers often miss out in this process. So first off, we set too many goals at once or give too many pieces of feedback at once. A student plays a piece for us and we tell them all the things that could be better because our goal is too big. Or maybe an even bigger issue, our goal is perfection. Not one of my favorite words, but sometimes that is what's in our head. This is often something I work with beginning teachers. They need to really understand why they're teaching that piece to a beginner in particular, even as we progress. What is the student supposed to learn from that piece? It's not how to play that piece perfectly. There's normally some specific goal or a few of them. And we need to assess against that goal, not against all possible goals to make this piece perfect. We're not actually expecting our beginner to play a simple piece as beautifully and perfectly as, insert favorite concert pianist here, right? Now, we do want them to play it beautifully, but against the goals that are actual markers of their progress. If you often find you're unsure of what that measure should be, what the goal is in a specific piece, I think the Piece Pointers course are a great place to look at this. So we have these courses inside Vibrant Music Teaching and they walk through a book piece by piece. And I tell you what I'm looking to teach in this piece, how I would teach it, how the student should be practicing it, and other little tips along the way. So those are all in the membership at vibrantmusicteaching.com. Now, the even more common issue I see that's been cropping up a lot as I observe teachers and my own teaching and try to self-correct, to fix things, to make things as good as they can possibly be, is giving feedback, but not letting it be a loop. So this looks like this. The student plays a piece, and maybe they've even played it before in the lesson, but they're playing it again. They play through the piece, and you say, okay, the this and this and this is much better. We still need to work on this and that and this, but let's move on from this piece. What is the student doing with that information? Nothing. They can't absorb it. They haven't had a chance to apply it. There's no time in the feedback loop. You're leaving it out. All you're doing is telling yourself, getting it off your chest, maybe reassuring yourself that you can tell that there's still things wrong with this piece. It's not doing anything for your student. I can assure you of that. You might even say something that sounds a bit more helpful, like, dynamics still aren't perfect, or dynamics still aren't where we'd like them to be, but let's work on that in the next piece. And you feel like you're being generous. You're letting them move on to the next piece, even though they didn't meet your standards. But all the student learns from this process is, it's never good enough. I never get there. No matter how hard I practice or don't practice, no matter what I try to do, no matter what focus I have, it's never good enough for this lady, right? Nothing is ever good enough. And it's true, to some extent. Nothing is ever good enough, right? Music is never perfect. So we do, in some sense, always have something we could tell a student to make better. That doesn't mean we should let the words leave our mouth, right? It doesn't mean we should actually say it. Sometimes the best thing you can do is say nothing, except maybe some praise and compliments for whatever they did right, and then move on. If you're going to leave the piece anyway, don't give them feedback on it. This might be less true as students progress and they're at a later stage, or especially if they're on a fairly competitive track and they're doing big performances or something like that. Maybe sometimes we do give them feedback that they can't immediately implement. It's about their longer term progression. But this is something for older students who are at a more advanced stage. It's not something for beginners and early intermediate to intermediate students. It's something for later on, that type of feedback. You may even have in your head an example of a time a teacher said something to you that wasn't immediately implementable, but did help you. But was it when you were 7? And you were just starting? Probably not, right? Now this happens, I see this in a slightly smaller way, but still importantly, even when a student is not finished with a piece. This happens even more often with teachers. Student plays piece and we don't have time. We just don't have time. So we just tell them what they need to fix and hope they do it in their practice. That's not an effective feedback loop, again, unless the student is at an advanced stage and can understand and process that information and is much more self-directed in their learning. If we're talking about a beginner to intermediate student, they finish a piece and we say, okay, so just work on the rhythm in bar 3, and then they go home or we move on to the next thing. There is so little chance that they're going to work on the rhythm in bar 3, and if they do, that they're going to actually fix it. Because presumably they were giving it their best shot that time, right? So telling them to fix it isn't going to do anything. Even if we say, give them an example of a strategy. Even if we say, okay, in bar 3 you need to clap that out and count it because you need to fix that rhythm. Still, it is always worth the 30 seconds it takes to get them to do it in front of you. And then the time comes in and they get to do it themselves and they spend the week hopefully working on that and they come back. But if we're giving feedback and there's no processing time, that is not good for our students. And ultimately it's not good for us, because then they come back and we think, I already fixed that mistake. It's happening again. We don't say that out loud, but we think that. And yet it's not true. We didn't fix the mistake. All we did was tell them about the mistake. And that's a very different thing. So the next time your student plays a piece for you or demonstrates a scale or does anything really, ask yourself, is this going to be the start of a feedback loop? Am I going to give them time to fix a problem, opportunities to fix it, and then give them more feedback and start a loop? Or is there no time? And if not, don't give them any feedback. Just give them some praise about what they did right. Tell them how much you love that piece or the reason that scale is important if you want. You can say something else, but don't give them mistakes to fix if you're not going to start a loop and start that process. If you liked this episode, you would absolutely love Vibrant Music Teaching Membership. We have the support and the training you need to take your teaching further. Join us today by going to vmt.ninja and signing up.